Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholder in His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. As I said last week, this week we will start a new teaching on the will of God. So many Christian friends that I know, they want to know what the will of God is for their lives, but sadly they have never come to know God, nor His will for mankind. My friend, please listen closely here. You will never, repeat, never know God's will for your life unless you come to know God. Believe it or not, they are one in the same. Now, before I get into our next teaching, which is the will of God, I would like to share a thought from our last teaching, which is kind of burning in my heart. For a few weeks, Karen and I have been attending a church planted in Sneed's Ferry, a little small plant. And we really like the simplistic delivery of the gospel, no fog machines, strobe lights, or external emotion grabbers. None of that stuff. They are really nice folks, but their focus is not on the substance, which is Christ, but on the type and the shadows, the external things that must be done to have a healthy church. Well, I've been to many, many churches that have punched all of the right tickets in their eyes. The expository preaching, membership classes, accountability and mentorship, programs, and the list of requirements can go on and on. But what they lack is the Spirit of God. You can have all of the things that man says in a book that makes up a healthy church, but if the Spirit of God is not moving and working in the lives of the people, then you're wasting your time. You gather together, like Paul said to the Corinthians, not for the better, but for the worse. The measure of a healthy church, my friend, is not what man says, but what God says. Wow, let me say that again. The measure of a healthy church is not what man says, but what God says. Is God moving by His Spirit, or is it the same routine, same ritual, only a different day and maybe a different speaker? Jesus is always the standard, the measure of a healthy church, not programs, even Christian programs like foot washing and communion and baptisms and all that stuff. Okay, I have this off of my chest, and so now let's go ahead and get into that new teaching, the will of God. Again, please pay close attention here. God has a will for each person on this planet and for each situation. Let me say that again. God has a will for each person on this planet and for each situation. This is a clear revelation of the Bible, but it is just as clear that God, for the most part, does not impose His will upon anybody. If we doubt that, then we must assume that what we see in the world and in the church is, in fact, God's will, God's imposed will. But does anyone actually believe that God is getting His will generally in this world today? Oh, no, of course not. How about the church? Is God getting His will in the church today? Again, we must have to say, of course not. Now, God, however, is not defeated. He will win out in the end. But, part of God's will and well within His sovereignty is the provision that man be allowed to reject His will, which oddly is a part of, guess what, God's will. In the long run, this will glorify Him, since all of the effort of man to reject Him will come to naught. In the end, God will have His way. But let us be crystal clear about one thing. God is not pleased that man rejects His will, and God does not cause man to reject His will. God does not ordain sin or unbelief. Teachings that suggest, and there are many of them out there, that everything that happens must be of God, or God is not sovereign, are in gross error. The fact that God knows ahead of time that someone will reject Him, but nevertheless allows it, does not mean that it is God's will that the person reject Him. God is so entirely sovereign that He knows exactly when to move or not move, when to intervene or not intervene, or bring about circumstances which will give people the opportunity to turn to Him. But the choice ultimately is up to them. God is so sovereign that he is able to know our choices ahead of time, yet not interfere with them. Any suggestion to the contrary is not, repeat, not only unbiblical, but results in grave, grave error. You know, the age-old argument of where God's will ends and man's responsibility begins is not one which God started. It is the result of people getting lost in philosophy and rather than getting lost in Jesus Christ. The truth is, once we say man has no real choice, no matter how I prop it up with a religious dog and pony show, we are in error. Man has a choice. Man does have a choice, even a choice to reject the very God who gave him that choice. God has made it so. And as we have seen, you know, God has made room for the possibility that man will reject him. Wow, that is amazing. All morality, free will, love, righteousness, character, you know, righteous character and all that stuff hangs on this thought. He knows that in the end, he will have his will done, and even those who reject him will prove God's sovereignty by the virtue of the fact that they did reject him and lose out for all of eternity. God has a will for this age. God has a will for the body of Christ. God has a will for each and every person. That is not the question, but the question I ask you today is, how do we find God's will? Well, believe it or not, that's easy. The Bible gives us the answer. We find the will of God when we find God. Let me say that again. We find the will of God when we find God. Recently, one of my grandkids spent months and months and months working towards enlisting in the military, Coast Guard, shallow water Navy. Now, this grandchild is very, very smart and did extremely well on the ASVAB, and that's a test to see what their practical skills and their intellectual capabilities are. They were a go. Well, to be honest, we're not really sure of all the details, but now they feel that God's leading them in a different, direction, and not going into the Coast Guard. They asked Karen and I to pray that God would show them the right path to do what they feel God wants them to do, or what they believe is God's will. Now listen closely here. So they ask us to pray and ask God to show her or them the will. Well, Karen and I promptly said no to their request. But we did say that we would pray that God's will for their life would be accomplished and not what they feel. Do you see the difference there? Now, there is a huge difference. God's will is not a mystery. It's not hidden. And we don't have to find it. Oh, no, we don't have to look and seek and knock and do all of that stuff. No, we don't have to do all that stuff. All we have to do is find God. And we will find his will. Amen? All we have to do is find God, and we will find his will. So it's not about finding God's will. Oh, no. It's all about finding God. So if we want to find God's will, then we need to focus on finding God. Find God, my friend, and you will find God's will for our life. Amen? Next week, we will continue looking at seeking for God's will. We will continue seeking God's will, how we should be careful in that. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you have a tremendous week and that you are looking for God, you are seeking God so that you can find God's will for your life, and that this teaching will open up your heart and open up your spirit to the understanding of how God really operates, and so you won't get caught up in that frustration of looking for God's will. This is David Stahl again from Beholding His Glory. We will talk to you next week. God bless and have a great week. Bye.